This is episode number 51 with Caduce and Carmina Philippe.
Welcome to the Rise Higher podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Kwong, and each week I'll bring you an inspiring guest with an empowering message to help you rise higher and live your best life. Each guest shares their time of struggle and setback and what specific mindsets, tools, practices, or habits they use to overcome so that you can apply them to your life. This show is to remind you that you're not alone and that there's always a pathway up. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm grateful to be on this journey with you. Our struggles are a call for us to rise. So here we go. Let's dive deep now so we can rise higher together. Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to the Rise Higher podcast. Now, today we're dropping in about overcoming self-judgment, insecurities, and body shame. Now, I know that this is something almost everyone struggles with, so this is a really important conversation to bring into the light to heal the shame that's sitting in the shadow that many people struggle with in silence. Now, I hope you're ready for twice the magic in this episode because I've got the amazing power couple, Caduce and Carmina Philippe, who were dear friends, and they're both TV hosts, speakers, coaches, and co-founders of Camera Ready. And they're both diving deep into how much we all struggle with insecurities and our body image, and how that can end up feeling isolating and paralyzing, and how to change it. So today you're going to hear Carmina and Caduce's personal struggles with body image, self-judgments, and placing too much value on image. You know, in a society where you're constantly seeing airbrushed models, it's really easy to compare or to self-criticize and to believe that image is the most important thing. You know, we're constantly being bombarded by the message that how you look is a big part of your value. But Carmina and Caduce are here to break that way of thinking, to show you how to embrace and accept yourself, and to help you to discover that your true value lies in who you are. Now, I love that Caduce and Carmina are the ones having this important conversation with me because it's through their experiential media training company that they co-founded together, Camera Ready, that they help to bring out the best in people, to release their insecurities and unlock their personal power by tapping into their raw, real, and courageous authentic selves to expose their unique story and message with the world. Now, some of the other things that we chat about in this episode are how to release insecurities and embrace all of who we are, the power of authenticity, steps to release shame and the value that we put on our image, how to love and accept yourself just as you are, disarming the trolls in our mind, aka those self-judgments, the importance of reaching out and communicating with others, and how your words shape your reality. And as you know, there's gonna be so much more. Now it's time to stop letting your insecurities define you and to start embracing self-love instead. So get ready for another powerful episode and share this one out because there are so many gems in here on how to heal self-judgment and body shame. And this is a really important conversation that everyone needs to hear. So go ahead and take a screenshot of this podcast that you're listening to right now. Email it, text it, share it on Facebook or Instagram. And if you share it on Instagram, make sure you tag me at I am Stephanie Kwong so I can shout you back. All right, my loves, here we go with Caduce and Carmina. All right, got two special people up in the house. Carmina Caduce, so grateful to have you guys on the Rise Higher podcast. What a freaking treat to have both of you. Mm. You are popping my cherry on having a threesome on the show.
We could have a very, very kinky interview then. Wow.
Yes. My type of environment, for sure. Right?
That's right. But I'm so grateful to have you guys on. For those of you listening, this is going to be a super special one. Carmina and Caduce and I were talking about what would be most relevant to chat about. And the thing that emerged was talking about how much we all struggle with body image, with just image in general, mm-hmm. and how that can feel very isolating and where you just feel paralyzed by it even.
Yeah.
So I'm so grateful that you guys are wanting to drop deep in this, especially because your work is, and your identity has been so built on being in front of the camera. Uh-huh. You know, you, Caduce, being an MTV VJ in Carmina, you being a host on, mm-hmm. it was Telemundo.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And now your powerful work is you show people how to authentically be themselves mm-hmm. on camera and not hide and shrink back. Uh-huh. So I know where we started. I got my stuff too. I'm sure it'll come out. If you wanted to get started, Carmina, I know that there's something you were talking about and where your struggle was. And
I mean, just even right now when you said, I've got my stuff too, I really think that we all do. And we don't talk about it enough. That's why I'm so passionate about this, because I'm feeling it. Like currently, it's not something that I'm like, oh, 2 years ago, I went through this struggle. Like I feel it right now as I'm sitting here. That I judge my body, I judge the changes that it's going through. It's like this vicious comparison to my body when I was 20, my body when I was 15, my body when I was, you name it, 27. And it starts, or how it started for me and how I woke up to this was that we were at the beach. Mm. Caduce and I, and what we planned to be a really romantic, beautiful Christmas and New Year's vacation last year turned into me realizing 4 days in I was in sweats and not to, and you know me, Steph, and I love having my clothes off. Oh, I feel so free.
A lot of naked sunbathing with you.
Yeah. And I was at the beach fully clothed, even by the pool, 4 days straight. And then I looked to him and I was like, I think I need your support. I'm not showing my body to you. Mm. And we started uncovering it, and it was because, and we weren't having a lot of sex. And I was realizing that it was this vicious like shame that I was judging myself so darkly, if that's even a word,
sure is.
In such a dark way that I was hiding myself from him. I would literally take off my clothes right before I was going to get under the covers and so on. So that led to a lot of work, you know, like I dove really deep and I'm still working through it now. And now like what's shifted is me starting to realize that I want to work out and I want to move because I love my body and not because I hate it and I want to change it. Mm. And that's been huge for me. Like I said, I'm not on the other side yet, but, or maybe I never will be. Maybe this is a journey forever, and how beautiful. But like starting over, all the way over, getting to know my body and like being like, hey, nice to meet you, new body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm learning to love you. Hope you're loving me, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, and sorry for all the judgment. And fuck, like, it brings me to tears to know how much I have criticized my body, mm-hmm. you know? And to sit here and know that this body works its ass off for me every day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Walking when it's tired. Keeps going for me, all of that. And then I'm like, you don't look good. You're too fat. You should look better. Mm-hmm. You should look like you did when you were. And it's probably like, bitch, you know, like, give me a break.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me, sitting on the side of it and watching your journey and seeing how you went from thinking that people wanted to be with you because of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And then transforming your own lens on that whole dynamic and making a point of developing and focusing on other things that are valuable about you. The fact that you're such a emotional support to so many people, spiritual guide to so many people, all these things that are really the depth of who you are.
Yeah.
And yet in the midst of all of that, it's almost like you forget about the power that you bring to the table, the value that you bring to the table, so far beyond what you look like.
Totally. It's almost like I need to intentionally bring that in every day. Like if I don't intentionally bring positivity into my mind, it will run negatively most of the day.
Yeah. And it's wild because we are in this work, right? We are people who coach people constantly on overcoming, rising higher than these things that, I mean, I do judge my judgment of myself. And then it just compounds the issue, of course. And I feel like there's this really popular saying that we're spiritual beings having a human experience, and yet it feels so human most of the time.
I
woke up this morning at like 5:30 in such a dark place. Like talking about being in it, I mean, this has been the thinnest my hair has been in my entire life. And this has been a point of pride. Like when I was in my early 20s and I was on MTV, I had this big hair. It became this thing that people knew me for. And so there was my identity wrapped up in that. And as I've gotten older and it's been thinning, I remember I was hosting the red carpet of the Grammys and I caught some footage of it and my head was turned and the camera was filming the back of my head and I saw this bald spot for the first time and I thought, golly, what's going on here? And this really, really heaviness, the pit in my stomach kind of feeling. And same thing that I'm saying to you, I get to say to myself more often, it's a skin suit. It's a skin suit. And yet we put so much value on it. It's like so ridiculous because when we get into the meat of a relationship, yes, it's nice to look at someone who has luscious hair and soft skin and all that stuff. But if you have that and yet you don't have the depth of everything else, or you forget that, then it becomes a vapid conversation.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's almost like it cancels itself out. Like I don't know if this has happened to either of you or anybody listening, but like I look at pictures from the past and I remember thinking in that photo that I was fat.
Totally.
And I see myself and compare myself from that photo to now. I'm like, how did that Carmina think she was fat when she's like 20 pounds lighter than I am right now or whatever? And it's this vicious cycle that starts happening. And we've been talking about identity and personality a lot and how much power we put to that and how it creates suffering.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also, it's part of our conditioning, right? I mean, even now when I see it with friends and their children or just people with their kids in general, they're like, you're so pretty, you're so handsome, you're so cute, you're so now we're starting to think our identity like, oh, look at how they light up when they say that I'm cute or pretty or handsome or smart. And then we start to think that that's where our value is. And so then when those parts of ourselves where we don't, when it starts to go away as we age or that we've just been conditioned to judge and compare, it takes us out. And so much of our worth has been placed on how we look. Because like check it out in our society, people who look good do pass the line. They are the ones that get the job. They're the ones that get acknowledged. They're the ones that get paid a ton of money just to get their picture taken to be put on magazines. And so there's this constant message, whether it's like overt or covert, that a big part of your value is how you look. And so we take that on and no one ever trains us that that's not true value.
No, they train us the opposite, or at least that was my experience growing up. Like in my culture in Mexico, you dress up head to toe to go to the corner store. Here, I remember the first time I came to the U.S., or after I was born, or I remember feel like I have like a consciousness around what, what I saw. I was in awe of what people would wear to go to the mall or to the store because we were in our best dresses to go. Like that's how it was every single day. My mom, head to toe till this day, she has to be dressed up. Perfect everything. To go to the grocery store. And that growing up, seeing that and hearing that and hearing that, that doesn't look good on you. This looks good on you. You have dark skin, so you can't wear dark colors. I have dark skin. So according to my mother and aunts and my lineage, if you have dark skin, you can't wear certain colors. You have to, it's like there's something wrong with you. So we have to kind of fix it with peachy colors totally. And whites. And he's heard me say, like, he's liked like a khaki dress on me. And I'm like, no, that's not one of my colors. Wait, what?
What?
Says who?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as dudes, we get sold that having thinning hair is an issue that you need to reconcile ASAP. Here is all the product. Here's the hair club for men and this
all
and that.
All the pills.
All the pills. And yet there's other things that we could look at, right? We could look at Michael Jordan and how he looked. Cool AF
in a
bald head, you know, and there's other examples. And like there's women like Adele, for example,
yeah.
who's absolutely owning exactly the shape she's in.
Ashley Graham. That's what I've been doing now. Thanks mm-hmm. for bringing her up.
Even
now,
Winnie Harlow. You guys
seen
her?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I've been unfollowing a bunch of like bikini, like things that I know are completely edited. And airwashed and airbrushed.
Yeah, airbrushed. Airwashed.
That is a word, yes, yeah. Airwashed.
Go wash our minds of the judgment of that. That's what we do. Well, that's yes. the thing. It's like we're talking about essentially siphoning ourselves off from a different game. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it is. It's like we've been playing the image game. Mm-hmm. How good can I look? And now it feels like we're evolving into a state where it's not so much about what you look like. It's actually what you bring to the table that's
who
deeper than
are.
That. Who you are. What is your heart?
Yeah, and like a question before that one, because I think sometimes I forget who I am, like we were saying. And then it's like, okay, let's start discovering who I am. Like this new me, who am I? If we're always evolving and changing, then to not assume that like who I was a year ago is still who I am now. Like I feel I'm constantly changing and I don't ask myself enough times, oh, who am I right now?
Yeah, yeah.
And what do I like now?
Totally.
Like, yeah, there might be clothes hanging on in my closet, but do I still like those? Is that still like, can I just get to know myself all over again versus like continue to live like the past?
Well, and how boring is that too? Yeah. Right. To continue to have the same standards, the same value system for the rest of our lives. I mean, gosh, and nobody escapes from this. That's the irony, right? Is like we all think we're exempt from the things that aging brings. And yet it happens to all of us.
There's no amount of Botox, lasers, fillers, plumpers that can ever stop what is natural and normal.
Yeah.
And I think the journey really is also embracing who you are every single moment. That's what stops the suffering.
Yeah.
And finding the value, like we were saying this earlier, like finding the value of who you are inside.
Yeah.
You know?
That's it.
Because again, so much of our value is placed on the outside. And I think the big key for me, and I think for a lot of people who are listening, take this in, is how you look, whether it's heavier, skinnier, more hair, less hair, whatever, doesn't mean you're gonna lose love. And I think that's the big key, is like, we're so afraid, if I don't look like this, then I'm gonna lose love. Or I'm going to get judged. And the judgment also equals for people losing love, right? Or
not getting love.
Not getting love. Yeah. I have to look like this. I got to stick. I know people who've shared with me, like they can't leave the house without having makeup all over their face. Mm-hmm. Or this one girl I was talking to recently, she will sleep with the makeup on when she's dating a guy because she doesn't want to wake up with him seeing what she looks like without the makeup. This is like putting yourself in a cage.
Yeah.
And I think so often we do this and it's really time that we all set ourselves free. Like no one wants the perfection anymore.
Yeah. And by the way, there's some really damaging effects of this type of product, whether it be makeup, which is less, but like I just heard about the boob jobs that are now resulting in all sorts of cancers in people and women who got them. And so there's some really gnarly stuff. And think about the technology we use too, right? All this time on a phone. And I just heard about Dave Asprey doing a study on himself that had a cell phone, one little pocket in his leg, just to see what the effects of having the cell phone there in that pocket on his leg would be. And sure enough, he did an MRI that discovered that his bone density was reduced significantly specifically in that area where the cell phone was, the shape of a cell phone had actually dented into his bone density. So at this point, you know, the results are in that some of this stuff is actually damaging. And so, you know, psychologically, emotionally, it's damaging, and also now physically. Mm-hmm. So what are we doing to ourselves? And for what? For what? To keep up with the Joneses and how everybody is supposed to look based on marketing, based on covers that are all photoshopped anyway? So wild.
Yeah. And here's what's interesting too. I loved, we were talking about the air washing of the brain. But how hypnotized we are with our own thoughts of our judgments of self. Mm. And that what we really need to clear and clean is that. Yeah. Like, that's the toxicity in our lives, is our judgments of self and how we put these standards that we could never live up to just so we can judge ourselves more.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that, like, we were talking about this earlier about how these judgments go on repeat. It's like the moment we wake up, it's like, you didn't do this enough today. You're like all the drama and the work comes in releasing that and finding some peace.
And the pattern, right? Like I find a lot of peace in noticing my patterns. Mm-hmm. So without fail, like clockwork, whenever I'm taking on new ground in my life, I notice that what we call trolls, these really negative voices in my head, they rear their head. It's like they take a nap when I'm chilling, when I'm like in a season of my life where I'm not really challenging myself or risking much. But the minute I make choices and risk, etc., man, these trolls come like, they come like a band that's back. You know what I mean? Like we're going on tour in your head.
And then his trolls wake up my trolls, and then there's a troll dance party with the worst music in the world playing in our living room.
It's so crazy. It really is. And the thing is, over time, the pattern also shows that the thing that my troll wants to tell me about how I'm going to mess it up, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, ends up getting proven wrong, like clockwork. And yet it's like I forget that I rose higher than those trolls, and the trolls get so loud. It's like a megaphone in my head, and it seems like the only thing. But thankfully, you know, there is the mirror that is Carmina here in my life to remind me when I am not mentally resilient enough to get over those thoughts. And so, yeah, it's been a gift to have someone who's as committed to rising higher as me. And I felt like I needed that at this point in my life. That's the thing. It's like, as we get older, it's almost like these trolls mutate.
Again, they're also evolving. Who am I now? The troll's like, who am I now? Now that they're getting smarter and more emotionally intelligent, who am I now to trick them into staying the same?
Yeah. Right, because I imagine it's like a battlefield, right? If you're on a battlefield and the army ahead of you, you can see they're going back to headquarters. They're figuring out a different strategy. Okay, well, we gotta double down on evolving ourselves too.
I feel like we do that for each other. Like, you definitely support me too, and waking me up. The other day in bed, I was judging myself, and he goes, "Hey," and you're very sweet when you speak to me all the time. Everybody knows that, just like you were just now. But this time I felt some fire, and I was like, "Oh," and you were like, "Hey, watch out. That's my wife you're talking about." And that completely opened up my eyes. I was like, oh snap, it makes sense. I've never even thought about it that way. I'm criticizing the love of your life in front of you. You're hearing this, like, and I hear the same thing when you are hard on yourself, and it's tough to hear that.
It is and it's normal, because it's normally distorted. It's based on a very subjective perspective. I don't know how I come across. It's the wildest thing, because as my hair has been thinning, she's been saying, baby, I actually prefer you bald.
I've always loved when you shaved your head. It's so sexy to me to rub your head and to,
And so that's the thing, right? It's like my subjective small self wants to cling on to this identity from my 20s. And yet here I am with an amazing woman, the woman of my dreams. This is the woman who I've chosen as my wife. My number one priority in life is in my face, literally saying, I mean, it's real. And she's like, by the way, memo, I love you bald. And yet, here's what's wild, and I know I'm not the only one here, is that I have so much momentum with these trolls, the belief system that my hair is equal to my value, why people love me, etc., that even in the face of someone like Carmina, with that kind of equity in my life, that voice has been louder up until now. Of course, I'm like starting to shift out of that, thankfully, because she's so consistent, right?
You know what I just thought of? Like, when you have hair, you don't let me touch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because of the fear, right? So this is how the troll works.
That's
in me.
It's so like, interesting.
I think, oh gosh, in the scarcity around hair, this belief around hair, that her rubbing my hair might potentially pull hair out. And this is just a slippery slope.
I totally get it though.
Yeah.
It's wild.
It's crazy. It's illogical and not based on research and all these things. And yet it feels so real.
Yeah. All of this stuff we're talking about is illogical. Like I'm fat based on what? Based on who? Based on all of it is just stuff we make up to continue to go in these circles, these vicious circles about being right about what we want to continue to beat ourselves up for. Yeah.
Let's talk about this for a second. We were sharing this when we were sitting outside. waiting to get into record is how we actually will also create the very thing that we do not want.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? So I remember you sharing that you were supporting Caduceus in noticing your flaws. Let's talk about that,
oh,
right?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. Where it's like how we apologize and we like point it out.
Mm-hmm.
To then have people notice it, to then have them potentially judge it, even though the very thing we want is for them not to judge.
Yeah.
But now we're like encouraging them to judge.
Totally.
Like we set the tone for how people should see us. Like we think my insecurities show up in a room and right away, like we were saying, like I'll say things like, oh, sorry, I just came from the gym. I must smell and I look really shitty. I'm sorry. And when they maybe are like, oh my God, you look so glowy.
You're glowing.
Yeah, totally, totally.
And I, in that moment, told them and made a contract like, I'm showing you my insecurities. Now I'm telling you how to look at me. Yep. So I'm adding another person to judge me in addition to all the times I judge myself.
Right.
So yeah, I was definitely criticizing myself in front of you, in front of him. And that was informing his opinion of me.
Right.
And of course he was seeing me fat then.
Yeah.
Because I was constantly talking about it.
Yeah.
And yes, my romantic is like, well, you should always look at me beautiful and thin and all of that. But like when I'm setting that tone for you and I'm enrolling you into seeing me that way.
Sure.
How I see myself. And then we were having less and less sex and it affects everything.
Yeah.
And now that I've really worked on shifting this perspective, and it's not just a one-time shift, it's like moment to moment to moment. It's like, Carmina, you're fat. Carmina, I love you no matter what size you are. Like that, mm-hmm. I have to do that every single moment or else it takes over.
Yeah.
And in that, he's been like, damn.
Yeah, she walks differently. She walks into a room with a different energy and then it becomes a completely different dynamic. We're constantly informing how we're going to be treated. I know for me, like for example, the time, the bandwidth, the energy that I roll around in potentially this hair being gone and this and that, that could be time that I'm writing my book. That could be time that I am doing X, Y, or Z. Like I think about what if Gandhi had collapsed in insecurity around
his being bald.
Right.
He was bald too.
Right. Yeah. What if that had him curl up into insecurity and play small for the rest of his life because he thought that his identity and value was wrapped in hair? We wouldn't have Gandhi.
Mm-hmm.
So like what? What, wow. What are we doing to ourselves? I'm so in awe of this because what I'm realizing, and this is what you've been pointing out, is that as I've come to terms with this and shaved my head in Bali and had a moment and felt like a baptism in this little pool we had next to our villa in Bali where I shaved my head and I kind of just dunked my head in and I said, so be it. And so it is, right? And so then it became a different allocation of my resources. And so we just had a camera ready here in Los Angeles and she was like, wow, you seem like a man unleashed.
Yeah.
Like I'd never been more fierce and powerful in my facilitation of these trainings. And
like
I got
barking. He was like, just to give you a reference, I saw him like if he was in the jungle in the training room. Like he was like,
it was like a lion for the people in the room to make sure that they got everything they came for and more, you know?
And therefore so many men in the room started unleashing themselves. Mm-hmm. It was so powerful.
Super powerful. And I think that there's some growing up. There's a rite of passage that happened when I said, okay, I'm not going to let this define me. I'm more than this. And really embody what it is that we coach people on, which is to love ourselves regardless and know that the value is in what we're saying, who we're being, what we're committed to, and not how we look doing it. And so, gosh, if I can take my own pill, you know, and that's it. It's like a daily thing. It's like a daily practice now, because some days I feel great and some days I look in the mirror and I'm like, okay, all right. It's not quite MJ right now dunking in the slam dunk contest. I'm having a hard time using MJ as my pillar of hope here for how this bald head could work for me. And so, yeah, I mean, it's QP.
QP.
I'll work with that. Yeah. And it's a practice. It is a practice. It's like, I wish we could just flip the switch, have this conversation and be over. Chances are the trolls might come back, you know?
Yeah. Well, name what you said too, because it's what's coming up for me now, hearing what you just shared, Caduce, is like a hell of a lot of grace for ourselves. Like you had the moment in Bali where you shaved your head, did the dunking, you're like, acceptance, here it is. And you embraced it to the point where you guys did your training and you were just fully owning it. And then the past 2 days was like, trolls were unleashed and it was back in the judgment and the criticism. And so really just highlighting and the fact that it is a practice. Mm-hmm. And even though you might write down all your judgments and burn it on a full moon to release them, doesn't mean that they're all gone. Yeah. And that it's constantly becoming aware of them when they come up and shifting when you can.
Yeah.
And something I wanted to say earlier was our bodies are listening to what we're saying too.
Yeah.
It's following our commands. So the more we keep saying like, ugh, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat, not only will we distort our perception when we look in the mirror of that, but our body's like, oh, you want to be fat? Cool. I'll just hold on to this for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Krista, our mentor, says that our bodies and our surroundings will take shape of our thoughts. Mm-hmm. We'll take the shape. We'll start forming in that shape.
Yeah. And even the external, which, you know, bringing up again, when you were kept pointing out how fat you were, Caduce started to see, you said, you're like, mm-hmm. I started going, okay. Like, what did you say before?
Well, yeah. I mean, when it comes to the wardrobe choices, for example, and her wearing stuff that was baggy and all those things. And then when now you're wearing form-fitting things and it's like, oh, you're making a point of actually looking at what accents my body the way it is. And so all those things, it makes a difference. And yeah, I think there's definitely a productive way to go about this and in a way that actually empowers us. And I just think it's just so powerful to look at how, you know, NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, can really help us here, where it's like we're programming ourselves and hypnotherapy for that matter, and all these things, these affirmations that we can write down. And it's like really reprogramming, because how many years have these beliefs, these trolls had momentum in our lives? It's like a moving train. And so it's like, just first of all, we got to slow down the train to be able to be aware of it, right? See those things for what they are. And then another mentor of ours, Michael Strasner, says our power lies in our ability to make distinctions. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, then as we are aware of it, then we can actually make the distinction. Oh, is this really the train that I want to be on? Is this really helping me? You know, or is it like Gandhi here? Is this a moment to jump ship from this train and go to like, I'm going to be a revolutionary with this look train? <You
know? laughs> So now that we're shifting trains right now, which I love, something you mentioned earlier, again, that I want to highlight is the fact that having someone to mirror back and to illuminate where these judgments are, because sometimes it's so automatic, we don't see it. Mm-hmm. So when you interrupt the troll and you're like, don't talk about my wife like that, right? Or careful you're talking about, because I actually say that with friends. I'm like, don't talk about my friend like that. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, right? And then also for you, reframing, and not that you're reframing to make him feel better. You actually see him really sexy with
oh, yeah,
a bald head, which Q, you was sexy with that bald head. Let me tell you, and it works. You don't have like a weird shaped head that I'd be like, oh, you need a puff back there to cover the lump.
Well, that's the thing.
I'm so clear. Yeah. That, by the way, speaking of Michael Jordan, and if any basketball fans are listening, you'll know the championship team, Chicago Bulls, had Michael Jordan, also had Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen made a point of shaving his head. He did not have an MJ head. Yeah. His head looked like a prune. I remind myself of that.
Sherpa.
Yeah.
Right? But he owned it.
He did. And I think that you know, it's the same for all of us, right? That's what I was saying with you. It's like, yeah, you don't have the body of Giselle, but that's not your body. You know, you have Carmina's body. Like, mm-hmm. you have the booty that I was mesmerized by as I was facilitating a meditation retreat. I'm not supposed to be looking at your booty. I'm the damn facilitator of this meditation retreat. I'm supposed to be meditating on how you can meditate better. I'm looking at your booty. That's how great your booty is. And yeah, you think your booty's too big, right? So come on.
You know what you were saying just now. Thank you, baby. I receive it. I receive it. You make me laugh. I receive it. I have learned how to love myself by how you love me.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I mean, that's the gift of having a relationship that is a mirror.
Yeah. Just like I would enroll you into how to see me as fat.
Yeah.
You have enrolled me in how to see myself as beautiful.
Well, great.
Yeah. So there are going to be some people who don't have a mirror like you guys do. Like, yeah. What a beautiful blessing that you have each other and that you love each other enough to show the others to see themselves, each other in your best light.
Yeah.
There are some, one, that either you don't have it,
mm-hmm.
or two, you have one that's actually highlighting mm-hmm. what's wrong with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How would you support someone? Let's go with the first one. If you don't have someone right
mm-hmm.
now
mm-hmm.
to have you believe in yourself more than you believe in you at the mm-hmm. time, what would you say to them?
Hmm.
What could they do?
I think the most important thing is to share. It's been really difficult for me to share because there's so much shame and guilt and not a lot. I don't hear enough people talking about all their insecurities. Mm. So I think whether it's to your friend, your cousin, whoever it is, share what you're feeling. If you feel like you feel fat, if you're sad, if you're depressed, if you've had dark thoughts, tell somebody.
Yeah.
Share, like, that's what we are so committed to authenticity and people sharing their truth. And imagine, like, I think that most of my life, if I would have heard people sharing about all this, it wouldn't feel so heavy.
Yeah.
So share with whoever, call somebody. If you literally don't have anybody to share this with, there are phone numbers you can call.
Mm-hmm.
There are people you can talk to. There's a center you can go to in your community to talk to somebody. Go outside and talk to somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then it opens up a whole nother lane for a perspective, like we've been talking about, a different perspective on the way that, like, I've been looking at my head or you've been looking at your body. And then next thing you know, this person that you're sharing with could be like, actually, are you open for a different way of looking at it? Because this is what I'm seeing. Could be a complete blind spot that all of a sudden gets illuminated, but it only happens when there's sharing there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Something just came up for me that I wanted to share, which how the power of that when you are willing to receive feedback. So these moles on my face, I would avoid the sun because I was born with these ones by my eye, which I know you have as well, Carmina.
Two of them.
Yeah.
Two.
And someone recently told me, they're like, did you paint that on? Or is it? I was like, what? Why would I paint that on? They're like, people, that's where they want to have.
They do that now.
Who knew? But I was born with those, and then the one wherever on my left side, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones have come from the sun. So now I'm like fiercely not wanting to go in the sun because still in however, like my dad, when I see him, still says, when do you want to go to Taiwan to get those removed from your face?
Huh.
Those moles removed. Mm. And I remember 5 Valentine's days ago, I was at a women's thing and this woman walked by and she's like, oh my gosh, I love your beauty marks. And I was like, what?
Mm.
And I'm like, oh, these moles? She's like, no, they're beautiful. And she goes, and you know, like if you actually put your face up to a constellation, it tells your life path. And I was like, what? And ever since then, that was when it was pointed out to me how much I judged it. And I, instead of calling them moles, I was like, these are beauty marks. Mm. And every time I get more now, it's because the sun has kissed my face enough that it's like shining through. So again, talking about like, if you're willing to listen to that and people can illuminate something new for you to see it in a whole another way. Mm-hmm. Like, how can we actually look at what we have mm-hmm. been given mm-hmm. and be grateful for it? Mm-hmm. Because some people too are really suffering with their physicality. Like mm-hmm. some people were born without arms or are struggling with cancer or things that are debilitating. And yet many of us are so healthy and we're still shaming and judging and hating on it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I wonder what your conversation with your dad was like about the moles, right? Like, I wonder whether that thought had originated independently of you and he just thought that about the moles, or you were probably complaining about your moles to him.
No, it's a Asian.
It's like, an Asian thing. Yeah, okay, like interesting.
Moles, white skin, all of that.
Like that's that perfection. Definitely like my culture.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. Mm-hmm. So even on a cultural level where there is a huge blind spot, like what? Okay, so in Taiwan, it's like that. But here, it's beautiful. Considering, yeah. You know, this woman at the conference made a point of coming up to you and saying that.
Yeah.
It's so powerful.
And I think it's just a matter of you choosing to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. again, even if people tell you to they're blue in the face, it doesn't matter if you don't actually believe it, known it, mm-hmm. and are willing to see it.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really where the depth of the healing is.
Yeah. Yeah. I really think words matter too. And what's been really supportive for me as I receive compliments, because we're always receiving compliments. And as I receive them now, even if I don't believe them, because I'm in a dark place in that moment, I don't even want to call it dark. I'm in a
heavy
place.
Intense.
I'll say I receive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so powerful. Yeah.
Because if I don't do that, then the, oh no, I'm la la la. Like, I'll just put myself down.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, you know, this, what? No, it's just, I just, whatever.
Sure.
Like,
another example, I think, of language mattering is how in the telling, in the sharing, it could be actually a demarcation point. We often tag a little something at the end of a sentence that we notice is a limiting belief for something from the past, which is, let's say, I have been ashamed of my thinning hair up until now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then I feel it every time. It's like this, my spine goes higher. It's a declarative thing. It becomes active. It becomes productive to a different train.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that indifference with like what I hear a lot of people say automatically, which is, I am always late, or mm-hmm. oh, I'm broke.
Yeah.
And we're saying it in definitive ways as if like forever we will be this way. And that's
programming
so
ourselves.
Awesome, because it like allows like, oh, this could be the end of that.
Yep, could.
And there is a possibility for change.
Yeah. I totally
that's
believe it.
That's the programming, and that's the program we have to change, because you're constantly listening to yourself. The more mm-hmm. you say it, the deeper and deeper it goes in your subconscious.
Yeah.
And then again, we start to distort our reality to want to see it. We start behaving with other people in a way to trigger them to actually validate the thing that we don't want.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So there's so much goodness here, and I want to keep staying on that path now of like, how can people who are struggling with this start to shift it? What's been supportive for you, Kadoos, as you've been really being in this place of embracing your thinning hair?
Well, I think that sharing it is huge. And I also think that even before that place of reprogramming and looking at how we can empower ourselves and rise higher, I actually think there's a lot of importance in first feeling whatever you're feeling, like the sorrow, the hurt, the pain, the disappointment, the upset, the judgment, all of that. Like, I've really been doing my best to not spiritually bypass the opportunity to actually heal it by feeling it, you know? And so I found myself waking up at 4 a.m. the other night and crying like a baby. And on the other side of it, I felt lighter. I did. But I think that without that step, I wouldn't feel altogether lighter. I think I'd be still carrying that on some level. It'd still be some kind of like a subconscious drag on me. And so, yeah, that's a really big piece. Like, shit, I'm going through a grieving period. Mm-hmm. Like, as though, you know, when we lost our teacup Yorkie Michi a few months back, we gave ourselves space. We knew, okay, this is time to grieve Michi. For the next 2 weeks, we allowed ourselves to feel whatever we were feeling. And yet, whenever I move through something else in my life that is not necessarily like an event, like a death, like if I leave a job that means a lot to me and I'm feeling some type of way about it, in the past, I would have said, why am I feeling that? I'm moving on. And yet, that's a version of me that I get to mourn, that I get to grieve. I'm no longer going to be at that job, right? Same thing with my hair. That's a version of myself that I get to grieve and mourn about. He's passing. He's been with me. He's been a part of me. He's been me for so long. So that grieving period, that mourning period, it's huge. And then on the other side of that, let's build. Let's create this new version. But without that feeling it and healing it that way, I think it's really tricky to get to that pure clearing. You know, that wide open canvas. Like, ooh, yeah, no, okay, we're working with this new version of Carmina. We're working with this new version of stuff. We got to clear the closet first. We got to really, like, you know, go all up in it. It's not comfortable. I mean, and there's a lot of challenges sometimes to allow for it, but that's been the theory that we've been working with in our work is really making sure that everything is experiential and it's not just conceptual. So it's like, how can we actually give ourselves the space to do that? So whether it's wailing on a pillow, whether it's going to a training that you know has a catharsis process in it that you'll be able to yell it out, scream it out, cry it out, whether it's an ayahuasca ceremony, something, whether it's a boxing class, I mean, something, just let it out.
Nature.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know some great men's groups that go on the nature and scream out all their frustrations in life at that point, and then boom, on the other side, it's a different experience.
Just message Stephanie or us and we will know exactly where to direct
you.
We'll
take care of you. We'll direct you. Yes. Got your back. Yeah. And even a big piece I would say is having the people. This is why it's so important to have community, or just at least even if you have that one person that you can talk to.
Yep.
Because one, whether you can just expose it all, and I know Brené Brown always says that shame goes away the moment you give it a voice. So even just sharing that, because how often we just stuff it in and pretend it doesn't exist, or we just keep hiding it and squishing it around, but eventually it's like pushing a pillow or a balloon underwater. Eventually it wants to pop up. So giving it a voice just lets it rise up, and then letting someone reflect a new perspective back to you as well. Because we, a lot of times, our perception is so distorted based off of all the conditioning or the judgments and all that. But and we wonder why we suffer. We're like, I don't know why I'm so unhappy, but I keep calling myself a piece of shit, and then I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'm this and that. And it's really just us that are controlling how we feel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's the core of our work, giving it a voice, putting it on camera, speaking about it, going and doing turning our mess into our message, so we can not only share it and other people hear that they're not alone feeling like this, and also to release it from our bodies so that we can heal from it. Every time we share, we feel lighter.
Has that been the pathway for you? I know that has been, but have there been additional things that you've done to really embrace your body?
I took a nude photo. We did a nude photo shoot.
That'll be your podcast picture.
We did a nude photo shoot. I did a nude photo shoot. Yeah, he took the photos by a waterfall in upstate New York. And then I did another bikini photo shoot in Bali. I have been allowing what my body craves to wear, not what my mind wants to wear. Because, yes, I was wearing a lot of like really loose dresses and stuff. So I've been honoring its shape and showing its shape to the world. And then cannabis has helped me a lot because when I smoke or have an edible, it really, I call it the ego eradicator. It removes all of those thoughts. And in those moments, I love myself so freaking much. Obviously, I don't want to replace that with my own will to love myself. But that supports me in the process. And then because of cannabis, now I've been working out, doing yoga, all of these things, because my criticism is gone while I'm doing the workouts in the yoga studio next to all these skinny girls and feel amazing. I honestly feel like I'm Beyonce when I walk around. That's how I feel like my hips.
I mean, y'all, she's like wearing a fur jacket during the interview right now. And it's what, 10 in the morning?
I do write myself a lot of love letters, a lot of forgiveness letters. I write love letters to different parts of my body, like directly talking to my cellulite. Like I'm like, hey, cellulite. I don't know why you're coming right now. Like, I haven't loved you, but fuck, you're here and let's be ride or die. Like, let's do this together. You're here for a reason and I respect that. And so a lot of self-love, interrupting the criticism with a lot of self-love.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful. Are you open to me interrupting something about the cannabis narrative there?
Yeah.
So I think it's actually you, and cannabis is really just a tool that you're picking up and using. But I just wanted to make that distinction because I do feel like cannabis is, in my experience, it amplifies what's there, what's really there. Mm-hmm. And like, so in this case, my shadow stuff, like if we use a cannabis edible or smoke, whatever, if we use it intentionally, like if the intention is always, okay, I'm gonna use this to deepen my experience here on this planet to become more present to what needs to be expressed.
Which is always the intention with
totally
cannabis.
Totally, yeah. Which is what I've noticed in both of us is that it's the opposite of this stigma around cannabis that it helps to escape, check out, mm-hmm. be lazy about it, whatever. It's the opposite with us. It's like it actually catalyzes transformation. It becomes this ceremonial tool. We make everywhere we walk and talk through life a ceremony as we're on it.
And we treat it as medicine.
Is important. Thank you for bringing that up, because I think for many, they'll use the cannabis just to check out and avoid. Yeah. I could sit here and talk to you guys all day long. Oh, I think we need to do another one because there's so much juiciness. Yes. We got to wrap it up. I got a few last questions for you guys. Mm-hmm. First is this: what is something unique about you that most people don't know?
Ooh, I love being thrown off guard.
Maybe we could do it about each other.
Yes.
Like, I'll share something unique about you that I've seen that I don't think you share.
Okay, great. I love that.
So I think Carmina has a lot of things about her that I've discovered that I didn't know when I first got to know you. And gosh, I don't know if it'd be a surprise, but I'll share top of mind, which is you actually are a fiercely powerful business person. And it's something that has emerged in the process of this Cameretti experience that we're having. And what I'm noticing is that she's a badass. She's a total badass boss. Like she has a thing about her that's really approachable and relatable and sweet. And, you know, she's easy to laugh with and all these things, which I think can be misinterpreted as, oh, she might not be like a badass when it comes down to it. Might be too sweet or whatever, but actually, no.
Oh, no. It's like totally there's badass. A line in there that unleashes at the right time.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I love it. I receive. And yes. Stephanie knows that side of me too. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
I would say it's similar, actually, but slightly different. There's this wild side of you that is rough and gets dirty and is completely unafraid to look a mess and, you know, like be grimy and be imperfect. That, because I think a lot of people see perfection in you. Charismatic, all the winning ways that they call, you know, all you are a winning ways package walking around. And yeah, you have a side of you that is rough and powerful, that takes risks and is grimy and raw and powerful as shit.
All right. Yeah. Let that out more then. Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you, baby.
When you're in a really dark place, what's your go-to to get out?
Love letters to myself. Love letters to myself.
Is there a way that you do the love letter real quick?
There's whatever I feel, but it'll be like, Carmina, I love the way you care for people. I love the way you laugh. I love your body. I love how pure your heart is. In the beginning, they were like, I love your hair. I love your eyes. I love your, you know, but it took me a little while. Now they're a little deeper, but wherever you are, start
there.
Writing a love letter to yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I would say physically moving helps me. This morning when I was in that funky spot, I went for a walk and just shifted my state that way. Physiologically, I feel like so much can shift. Have a good meal, you know, maybe lay down, do some yoga, whatever. Those things really, really help to shift the energy. And then I can think clearer after that and think, oh, wow, okay, I'm going to get on this other train real quick.
Get off the train.
Get on the Gandhi train.
What's up, Gandhi? I'm joining you. And knowing what you know now, what advice would you give your 10-year-old self?
Huh. You're perfect. I would say you are perfect, and that's the only thing you really need to believe for the rest of your life.
That's beautiful. I would say, you do not need to earn love. You are inherently lovable. You do not need to earn it. No. Wow.
You guys.
And you're going to have a really hot husband in 28 years.
Embrace yourself for the sassiest, sexiest Latina as your wife.
I love you guys so much. Please do not get on a plane in an hour back to New York. Stay here forever with me.
We got our New York peeps to go facilitate training for.
We've been talking about maybe coming back out here, though. So.
Who knows? The sunshine.
Winters, whatever. But I love you so much. Thank you for sharing your heart and being so open and willing to just be honest. And I adore you guys. I am going to do it part two. Don't say that all the time with my guests, but you're gonna part two this up. Part two. Yes. And where can people find you? How can they connect with you?
CameraReady.co. Like camera, like the camera. Ready.
Like what? .co. Like a camera?
Sometimes people think we say camera.
Camel.
Camera ready. Like camera. We say it so often that now we like shorten it. We're like camera ready. They're like camera ready. So camera ready.co and on Instagram at Coach Carmina Becerra.
Yeah, and at Kudus, Q-U-D-D-U-S.
And at camera ready on Instagram.
Wait, you gotta just at Kudus.
Yes. There's not a lot of Caduces around. Well, actually, initially it was taken, and then a friend of mine over at Instagram managed to give me that. So
he's got friends.
He's got friends. Yeah. Thank you both so very much. I love you so deeply. And I'm so glad we were able to make this happen while you were in LA.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
How amazing are Carmina and Caduce? I am so, so grateful for their raw authenticity to shine the light on how many of us struggle with insecurities and self-judgments, and how there's a way to love and accept ourselves, to release the shame and judgment, and to remember the truth. And that is that we are perfect, we are whole, and we are complete just as we are. And we are lovable just as we are. And there's nothing we need to do to earn love. We are worthy and deserving of love just because we exist. Now, if you struggle with insecurities, self-judgment, or body shame, again, know that you are not alone. Now, this is something I deeply struggled with, and I still have many of my own moments of it. And I know that so many others feel the same. And so through my work in my coaching and as a master hypnotist, I have all kinds of clients coming to me, from, you know, CEOs to celebrities, entrepreneurs, homemakers, and those who struggle with addictions or mood disorders. And while their backgrounds may be different, their inner struggles are all similar. This struggle with feeling not enough and feeling unlovable run rampant. And there's always at least one thing I always prescribe to all of them, and that is self-love. A big ol' heavy dose of it. Because self-love is the salve to the negative conditioning and the wounding from our past. You can free yourself of your self-doubt, your insecurities, your self-judgments, and body shame when you have a more loving relationship with yourself. So if you're the kind of person who's ready to make peace within yourself, to love yourself unconditionally so that you can experience true happiness and to be free, then you want to get my Self-Love Transformation online course that is a step-by-step blueprint showing you specific steps, processes, and daily practices to release negative self-talk and beliefs and to replace them with love. Now, these are all the teachings, tools, and practices that actually work because I've worked them on myself. And in all the years that I've been coaching and doing hypnosis, I've had thousands of people around the world go through this program, and they've had massive results when they implemented what I shared with them. Things like creating healthy relationships, to pursuing lifelong dreams, overcoming addiction, strengthening family relationships, attracting the love of their life, to achieving personal goals, and also to just straight up feeling confident and good about themselves. You know, a lot of people say you just gotta love yourself, but they don't tell you exactly what to do step by step. And I kept hearing that complaint, so I designed this course to show you the how in the most clear, simple, and effective way possible. And you can get access to this self-love transformation course at 40dayselflove.com. That's the number 40dayselflove.com. And I'll also link that up in the show notes for you. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. If you're the kind of person who likes to help others, then make sure that you share this out with your friends and family, because if you got value, they will too. And if you got value from this episode and it feels aligned for you, I would be so deeply grateful if you just take a quick moment to write a 5-star review on iTunes, because this really supports the show to go up in the rankings so more people can find it, which means that we can support even more people to rise higher together. And if you've already left a review, thank you so much. I appreciate you. All right, if you want to connect with Caduce and Carmina to learn more about their awesome training, Camera Ready, you can get all of that info in the show notes, and that's over at stephaniekwong.com/EP51. And feel free to check out all my other podcast episodes there too. Okay, my friends, until next time, as always, I'm sending you so much love.